Some people just know they could save hundreds on car insurance by checking Allstate first. The same way you know you've got to make sure your lucky jersey is clean on game day or your team might lose. Checking first is smart. So check Allstate first for a quote that could save you hundreds. You're in good hands with Allstate. Savings vary, subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois. Hey, Rich Eisen here. I hear from a lot of business owners like you about the work it takes to pursue your passions. So I know how important it is to have the tools that can help keep you moving forward. And with access to world-class business and travel benefits, the American Express Business Platinum Card helps you take your business to the next level. It offers a flexible spending limit that adapts with your business. Plus, you'll have complimentary access to more than 1,400 airport lounges worldwide, including the Centurion Lounge, so you can keep running your business while you're on the go. See how the Amex Business Platinum Card gives business owners like you the tools and rewards to do more of what you love. Not all purchases will be approved. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/AmexBusiness.
Let's go live!
Live! From the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
The opening of the baseball season.
The season has begun.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
She's gone!
A Stantonian home run. Out of here! For David Hamilton.
Freddie Freeman! Simply unstoppable!
Earlier on the show, MLB Network analyst Harold Reynolds. Coming up, Alabama tight end Robbie Oates. NFL Network insider Tom Pelissero. Comedian and author Chelsea Handler. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
All right, everybody. Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. We're having a good time here. Opening day of Major League Baseball going down today.
Yes, sir. 2 hours away from opening day.
Yes, first pitch in the Bronx, New York. The New York Yankees taking on the Milwaukee Brewers, and then the rest goes down. We'll keep an eye on all of that best we can. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Tom Pelissero, Tommy P, will be joining us to tell us what's going on before he runs off to the owner's meeting and has a cheese cube on the NFL dime at the parties.
Just one? A single?
Owner's meetings are a party?
Are you serious?
I've never been.
Oh, you haven't heard the stories?
Let's talk.
Oh, you've told us some stories,
but nothing like.
Oh, are you serious?
Bunch of rich folks.
Bottle service.
Yeah, that's right. Bottle service, like thumping music and a green room and a champagne room. That's exactly what it is.
I don't know.
No. Okay. Let's be straight up.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's crazy talk. No, but it is a party. It is a party. I'll describe what it is when Tom joins us. And Chelsea Handler will be in studio in hour number three. Good times.
She knows how to party.
So as you know, I sit there at the combine on the 50-yard line, okay, in the booth. And I watch the guys work out. And I'm like sometimes making a mental note, I got to have this person on. Ahmed Hassanein of Boise State, when he was barking at the position coaches running the drills for the edge rushers, barking back at him. And I heard about his story. I'm like, got to get that guy on. I just watched this guy work out. I'm like, I got to get him on. And he's now on. He's Robbie Oots, Alabama tight end, joining us here on the Rich Eisen Show. How are you, Robbie? Oots. What's going on, man?
Good, Rich. How are you doing?
I don't know. I kind of felt your essence. I'll be straight up with you. I know that might be an odd way to start an interview. It's just like I just said, I'm like, you know what? This guy's got something. I gotta kick the tires.
The essence of Oots.
Yeah. That's what I thought to myself. Robbie, you know? And here you are. Sir. How you doing? It's basically what I'm saying.
Great. Okay. Glad to be on the show.
Okay. It's a pleasure to have you. So what was your combine experience like, Robbie, when you were going through things?
Walk me through that. You know, obviously it was an opportunity of a lifetime. Glad to be there. But, you know, the medical days, those were some tough days. But by the time we finally got onto the field that Friday, I just felt like I put my best foot forward and, you know, did the things that God enabled me to do. And here we are now.
Here we are now. So who did you meet with at the combine, Robbie?
I met with a good bit of tight end coaches, not all of them, but I'd say probably a dozen or so.
Okay. Which teams? You got team names? Want to drop me some team names, Robbie?
No, I'm going to keep that confidential.
All right. So we're playing it tight to the vest. We're close to the vest. Do you have any top 30 visits that are coming?
I do.
Okay. Yes, do I got a hire private detective for that too? Or
I'm not getting those either.
Okay. Hmm. All right. All right. But you're feeling good about your prospects essentially right now?
Very good.
What is somebody going to get if they draft Robbie Oates?
They're going to get a football player. They're going to get a guy that puts an emphasis on physicality and respects his teammates and cares about his teammates more than himself.
And so how did you come to playing tight end, Robbie?
Well, you know, I kind of played quarterback growing up, but you could say I kind of grew out of that position. And just kind of the way I play football kind of aligned with the tight end and the fullback position. And, you know, not a lot of teams run a fullback nowadays. So I was kind of shuffled into that kind of tight end room, if you will. But just a football player, man. That's all I am.
Are you from, and you're from South Carolina originally?
Yes, sir. Rock Hill, South Carolina.
Okay, Rock Hill, South. So did you, you're playing quarterback there, obviously? Or no?
No, a little bit freshman year, but mostly just tight end, defense, punter.
Okay. And did Nick Saban show up in your house?
No.
He never did.
I was a COVID era kid.
Okay, so you were a COVID era kid, so there wasn't any of that. How did you wind up at Alabama? How'd you get there, Robbie?
I actually got the phone call from Coach Saban in Spanish class in high school.
What?
And, my Spanish teacher was like, "No, you got to stay." I'm like, "No, you don't understand. I got to take this phone call." So I walked down the hallway, and that's when Coach Saban offered me. And I was like, "Man, I got to go here. I got to play for this guy, develop under this guy." So it was kind of a no-brainer.
I got follow-up questions. You can understand why your Spanish teacher didn't appreciate you taking out your cell phone in class, right, Robbie?
Of course.
Okay, you understood that? And so you looked down at your phone, and you saw it was Saban? You saw, like, it had an Alabama code, or you knew right. It was Saban?
I knew it was Coach Saban, but it was just kind of a business decision in the moment.
Yeah.
Like, hey, I'll take whatever consequence she throws at me.
Good business decision.
Did you ask to be excused in Spanish, Robbie?
No.
Okay. Very good. Just was wondering if you were that fluent to basically say, "I need to take this" in Spanish.
No, sir. Not yet.
Okay. Very good. Not yet. I like that answer. So there you are in your hallway of your high school talking to Nick Saban and basically committing to Alabama, at least mentally on the spot for you.
Yes. Yes, sir.
Okay. Now, Robbie, I'm going to ask you this question. I have asked this of every Alabama Crimson Tide player.
It's my favorite question.
That's come on this program. I've asked it of Tua. I've asked it of Mac Jones. I've asked it as Jalen Hurts. Name the Crimson Tide player. I've asked it. Derrick Henry, right? Didn't I ask it of Derrick Henry as well?
Jalen Mirror.
Okay, all of them. What's the most pissed off you made Nick Saban, Robbie?
I will say I did a really good job kind of staying out of his wrath.
Okay.
But I do have a funny story, so... Freshman year, you kind of got to earn him calling you by your name. So freshman year, I'm just 45, right? And I'm running onto the field. It was with like the threes offense or whatever. And I'm looking back at the play call coming from the sideline, and I'm kind of jogging backwards towards the field. Mm-hmm. I didn't see Coach Saban behind me, and I kind of bump into him. And I turn around, I'm like, "Oh, crap, I just ran into Coach Saban." And he was like, 45, if you want to knock me over, you got to hit me a lot harder than that.
So that's about it then. So that was it. You stayed out of his wrath otherwise.
Yeah.
Okay.
You can say that.
When did you earn being called Robbie or Oots? When did that happen?
Probably early junior year.
Was there any play in particular? Any moment in particular? Were you?
No, I just say kind of earning my spot on the team and kind of being voted on to. He had like a little leadership council deal where all the players voted. Just kind of earning my spot on that council junior year kind of got me his respect, I guess.
So I guess, did it stop you in your tracks when you first heard your name out of his mouth and not 45? I'd imagine.
Yeah. It was a little cool. I was like, man, I made it.
Hey, exactly, right? Like, so you're on the leadership council and that's the sort of stuff you'd bring to the NFL as well, right, Robbie? Yes. Like, that's what we're talking about.
Of course.
Okay. And the flow as well. Have you cut your hair since the combine, Robbie?
Yes, I have. I had to cut it.
I mean, because it was flowing a bit more at the combine. I'll be straight up with you. There was more of a party in the back in Indianapolis.
It was.
Okay. Because we, all right, put it up anyway. I mean, we created all this stuff here. we got that one for you. I mean, your flow is better than Quinn's back in the day, or would you say?
Probably not. He's got a little more length than I do. Okay. The curls just don't get too long. They just kind of fro up.
Okay. Okay. Let's put up another one. We got Mike Gundy. I don't know if you need, he's 50. He's a man. I don't know if you're aware of that, Robbie. You got Mike Gundy.
He's got the curls.
Honestly, pound the table if you want. Like, do you got Gundy or he's got the curls more than you? Here, what
he's
do you
got
think?
Me, man. I got a fake mullet because I got curly hair. You got to have wavy kind of hair to get a real mullet. Mm-hmm. So I just kind of do what I can and just kind of rock with what I got.
Okay, I don't know if we might be aging ourselves here. Jaromir Jagr, do you know who he is? Jaromir Jagr, Robbie.
Sounds familiar.
He's one of the best hockey players of all time. Yep. Okay, yeah, we got that. Joe Dirt. Let me see Joe Dirt right here. We got Joe Dirt. What do you think?
That's the best one right there.
Or this is the one you probably get the most because it's the whole mustache mullet situation as well. Kenny Powers. You must get this quite a bit, Robbie.
Yeah. Yep, got that. Right after I ran my 40, they told me, what's her name? Miss Fowler, Cynthia Fowler. She was like... they're talking about you upstairs. They say you look like Kenny Powers. And I turn around and I look at the big screen and they're zoomed in on my face as I'm running the 40. I'm like, oh, get that off the board. Why is that?
Hey, man, get used to it. You're going to the National Football League, pal. What's your draft night going to look like for you, Robbie? What are you doing? What's your plan for your draft?
I got a kind of small get together, a couple family members and friends down in Beaufort, South Carolina, at my uncle's house.
Okay. And so what is it going to be? You're rolling. How deep are you? About 10 people, 20 people? What's it looking like for you?
Yeah, probably 10 to 20 kind of in there. But it's not really a draft party. It's more of a just kind of a, I never got my graduation party because of COVID.
Mm-hmm.
And my sister did. So I was always jealous about that. A college graduation and NFL draft party all in one.
That's cool, man. That's great. Is your Spanish teacher going to be there, Robbie?
No, she went up there.
Oh, that's too bad because you could say, I've got to take this one more time.
Need to invite her.
Robbie, thanks for the time, man. Enjoyed watching you work out and look for more of my calls when you get in the pros. Would love to have you on and watch your journey.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, anytime. That's Robbie Oots. Hey. He's going somewhere we don't know. He's keeping it close to the vest. That I want to pry right here on the Rich Eisen Show. There we go. There goes Robbie.
Oops.
He does have that Kenny Powers look. Yeah, right? That's awesome.
I think that was DJ saying that. We were zooming it. Zooming straight in on all that.
He stayed out of Saban's way, though. That was smart.
Smart move.
You know what I mean?
That great comeback by Nick.
Right.
Got to hit me harder than that.
45.
I'm sure Robbie Oots wasn't the first player to accidentally bump into him. I'm sure he workshopped that line quite a bit.
Still a good one.
Don't you think?
Yeah.
Tom in Delaware. Let's take his phone call. What's up, Tom? How are you? Tom. You there, Tom?
Tom.
Here's Tom. Yes, Rich. And guys.
Oh, see, every Tom has got to say hello to the guys in
what's
studio.
Up, Tom?
Hey.
What's up,
Jay?
What's your last initial? What's your last name, first initial, Tom? Tommy S. here on the Rich Eisen Show.
Tommy S. What up, G?
Yeah, I've spent a lot of time in Delaware. Rocket Tom.
What's going on, Tom?
I'm a former high school history teacher, so I hear analysis like yours. I always want to look for the dino to back it up.
Hey, Tom, hold on a second. Are you on some sort of a device, hand device or something, or a Bluetooth situation, Tom?
You're
got to take me. You take me off it because it we can hardly understand you. Tom in Delaware.
How about now?
Tom.
Yes.
Hey, it's Tom in Delaware. He's here.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
There we go.
So I looked up. You were talking about Mike Tomlin.
and we're talking about Pittsburgh looking to wait for Aaron Rodgers, word on Aaron Rodgers.
Yes.
As well as the fact that you were talking about Mike McCarthy having to play on a one-year deal and all of his players having to play on a one-year deal.
Mm-hmm.
So I looked it up and really came across a crazy statistic. Pittsburgh Steelers have had seven coaches since 1939.
Right.
11 teams in the NFL have had seven coaches since Mike Tomlin was hired, and another 10 have had six or more head coaches since Mike Tomlin was hired in 2007.
Yeah, that's why the Steelers usually go deep into the playoffs is because of that sort of tenure and calmness, and they're not churning through people, you know?
Yeah, I think it speaks to the relatively short tenure of quarterbacks as well. If a coach knows that he's on average going to be replaced every 3 years, he doesn't have time for a quarterback to develop either.
No, I mean, and thanks for the call, Tom, and I appreciate you taking yourself off of Bluetooth and coming with your own research. That's always greatly appreciated. Hey, man, we've gone over and over the whole quarterback development thing. The NFL is a quarterback development problem. And if I was an owner at this owners meeting that's coming up, I'm absolutely talking about it and say we need to come up with something, put money in some way and into AI or virtual reality,
yeah, the VR, the stuff that Jaden Daniels was doing
or,
at LSU,
or something like I don't know. Let's all put you go up to your colleagues. Let's all put $10 million in and start up another NFL Europe. That was so successful. I'm seeing that they planted seeds then in NFL Europe that I am watching full on meadows of fans. It's not green shoots anymore. Like it's a full blown fan base over in Europe. And a lot of that has to do with the seeds were planted with NFL Europe. And then you saw a bunch of like Kurt Warner will absolutely tell you without Arena League and without NFL Europe, he might not have been as ready for his moment to start his magic carpet ride to the Hall of Fame.
There is a spring league. The quarterbacks could play in that.
I get it. I don't know if the NFL is associated with the Rocks League. I'm sure he would love that sort of connectivity. You know, if some of those teams in this league are affiliates of teams. I don't know. Or pour resources into that. I don't know
if there's the buzz if the UFL, if Cam Ward and Shador Sanders were playing in it like the NBA Summer League.
You're just never going to
get those top players.
And then those guys roll an ankle and all of a sudden now you got a problem.
And you could get shot walking your
doggy. I understand that.
Walking your doggy.
I get it.
I don't know.
So Tom Pelissero is going to be off to the owners meeting. I believe it's in where the first ever NFL Network owners meeting was, which is the Breakers. Let's pop Tom up real quick. Hold on, pop Tom up real quick if you don't mind. Tom, is it the Breakers? Is that where you're going? To
are we allowed to say exactly where it is, Rich?
Oh, please.
I've always been told don't say.
Come on, we used to do NFL Total Access from there.
Wow, Tom.
Everyone knows where it's going to be. The whole media, like the media, is going to talk. I mean,
it is in Palm Beach, Florida.
There you go.
Palm
very
Beach.
Good. That's very good.
Indeed.
Yes. Okay. Thank you, Tom. Had to pull that. I'm going to pull that out of everybody. This whole hour, I've had to work harder than I wanted to. All right. Sorry. Tom Pelissero's going there, and it's a party, by the way. It's coming up.
Hey, Rich Eisen here. I hear from a lot of business owners like you about the work it takes to pursue your passions. So I know how important it is to have the tools that can help keep you moving forward. And with access to world-class business and travel benefits, the American Express Business Platinum Card helps you take your business to the next level. It offers a flexible spending limit that adapts with your business. Plus, you'll have complimentary access to more than 1,400 airport lounges worldwide, including the Centurion Lounge, so you can keep running your business while you're on the go. See how the Amex Business Platinum Card gives business owners like you the tools and rewards to do more of what you love. Not all purchases will be approved. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/AmexBusiness.
Let's talk TurboTax, people. You might be sitting there going, wait a minute, Rich. I don't get it. It's not April. Why am I thinking about my taxes now? Why should I? Because with TurboTax, you can have an expert file for you as soon as today. You get a TurboTax expert's undivided attention when you use TurboTax. and they work on your return in real time. Once upon a time, taxes is all about waiting and wondering and worrying. That's three things any fellow football fan can relate to, right? But nowadays, it's all about a TurboTax expert giving your taxes their undivided attention, just like your fantasy league waiver wire. Experts file with 100% accuracy so you can get your best return guaranteed. Know how it's all working for you right now rather than finding out at the last second and wondering if the person who's doing it for you knows what they're doing. With TurboTax, they've got an expert who knows what they're doing all the time. Now this is taxes. Intuit TurboTax. Get an expert now on TurboTax.com. Some people just know they could save hundreds on car insurance by checking Allstate first. The same way you know you've got to make sure your lucky jersey is clean on game day or your team might lose. Checking first is smart. So check Allstate first for a quote that could save you hundreds. You're in good hands with Allstate. Savings vary, subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
What's the most pissed off you made Nick Saban ever?
Oh, when I took the sack second and 26 in a national championship.
That game. You mean the one that you immediately made up for with an amazing play that puts you on the map?
Yeah.
That sack?
Yeah.
Okay.
That was the sack.
So walk me through how that, what he said to you, if you can, in a certain way on a live TV broadcast.
I mean, I could only see it on camera, you know, how mad he was. That was probably the most pissed off, though, I think he's ever been at me. He was squeezing his headset so hard. And then, you know, like, it was hard because the emotion was, like, so mad to so happy, you know, so fast for him. And, you know, we got into the locker room when everything settled down. I mean, he was still the same coach. You know, he pulled me to the side. Like, what were you thinking, you know?
So like taking the sack. After you won the game,
mm-hmm.
and you picking confetti out of your hair, he still took a moment moment to revisit that sack.
Yeah. Being who he is, I mean, you know, he pulled me to the side. He said, you know, well, why did you take the sack?
Right.
You know, and I thought it was a good time to joke with him, you know. So we won the national championship. So I told him, well, you know, we needed more room to throw the ball, coach. You know, and like he looked at me and like I was laughing. He's like, that's not funny. I didn't know what else to do in that situation. I was like, okay, I'm sorry, coach. So I shook his hand, and he just moved on. I was like, oh. Like, oh, man.
That's amazing.
I love that story. Yeah. That made me my favorite story the whole week. So you just figured, yeah, hey.
I was like, oh, maybe.
Just won it?
Yeah. Thought it was a good time to joke, but it wasn't.
Wow. Yeah, nope. It's never a good time, I guess, in that respect.
All right. YouTube.com/Rich Eisen Show. That was at a previous Super Bowl in Florida.
A lifetime ago.
Location unknown, because we don't want to tell people the location. I don't know why I'm busting his balls. I don't want to do that. Back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger, with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. He's heading off to the annual meeting, as it's called. It's the membership, which you might know as owners of the NFL, that's going down in Florida this weekend and next week. Tom Pelissero joining us here on a Thursday because he's traveling on his usual Friday. Good to see you, Tom. How are you?
Good to see you, Rich. What's up to my boys in the studio?
Tom.
Now, the owners meeting, as it is referred to.
Do they greet each other like that?
They do not.
Oh, they should.
Maybe some do. It is a vestige that coaches go, and it's the most chill. It's the last, I think, what would you say, chill environment in which you see coaches before draft and before OTAs, where coaches are still in off-season kind of chill mode. General managers is feeling the same, although everybody's bosses are walking around, so you do have to, you know, like stand up straight. All the league partners and media are there. It's kind of a convention and a little bit of a bash, Tom, right?
And it's gotten shorter over the years. It used to extend over 3 days. Now they kind of get going with some committee meetings on Sunday. Then it's Monday and early Tuesday are kind of the meetings. And then everybody is out of there by Tuesday evening. So we'll be sticking around doing the insiders at 7 p.m. Eastern time Monday and Tuesday nights.
Awesome.
From the site of the meeting in West Palm Beach. But yeah, it's a different type of an environment. There are rules discussions and things like that. But for a lot of the coaches, it's, you know, they're sitting down with EA and doing body scans for the new Madden game. And they're meeting with the companies that outfit like the things that they wear on the sideline and seeing new hats and things like that and making suggestions. There's all kinds of different things. We also, for NFL Network, get to sit down with a lot of the head coaches and some of the GMs and do interviews and catch up. Because for in many cases, you know, the guys who have had all kinds of free agency stuff, whether it's gains or losses or trades, they haven't really talked since then. And so this is a, you know, really interesting and unique time to get the updates for most of the 32 teams.
Yeah, and all coaches, or most of them, sit down at a circular table at a breakfast, I guess the after they eat. And we're changing this?
Breaking news. I am told it's no longer a breakfast.
What is it?
Now a media availability. We've eliminated the food after years of the awkwardness of someone, a coach coming over with a huge plate of food and then realizing there's 20 cameras around and not touching it. Now it's a 30-minute media availability, after which I presume they can go and get breakfast on their own.
That's one of the best memes, like Bill Belichick drinking orange juice.
Well, Bill never did those anyway. Bill never sat at a table and had a scrum around him. Like
There's the famous one of him when he sits down and he pushes all the microphones and recorders away from himself to clear space because he doesn't like it immediately in front of him. There was one year that he showed up, I want to say it was about a half hour into the breakfast, and didn't go to his table. He just stood against the wall and Stacey James was like, Bill's over here. And then everybody just went to get Bill against the wall. He chose to do things his own way. I would anticipate most of the coaches this year will physically sit at the tables that they are assigned to. And again, you got roving reporters from other markets and things like that. And it's, a little bit of a free for all. One of the last events that's, kind of informal, but this big that the NFL still does.
So the question is when Tomlin sits down for the AFC coaches, media availability, formerly known as breakfast, will he have anything to say about Aaron Rodgers, his new quarterback, or is he just going to know the questions are coming and deflect? I mean, what do you think is the timeline, dare I even ask, in regards to Aaron Rodgers and the Steelers, Tom?
It's still Aaron Rodgers' timeline. As of right now, 1:27 Eastern on Thursday before the meetings, there's not a firm and final word from Aaron Rodgers. What we do know, based upon what's played out here in the past few days, is that Aaron Rodgers' options, and I think that realistically it's been this way for a while, but now very publicly, his options are sign with the Steelers or wait/retire. I don't anticipate that we're going to get a retirement announcement. Anything's possible. And as one of Rodgers' mentors, Brett Favre, has shown several times in the past, just because you retire doesn't mean that means you're done playing. But I would think that, at this point, Aaron's got to make a decision. You've already heard from voices, including Cam Hayward on this show, who've made pretty clear that, they'd like to get an answer and know what direction the franchise is going here. But Mike Tomlin, it seems like, is patient and is willing to wait for a player that he's really coveted for some time. And this is a unique opportunity to get a four-time NFL MVP, one that's had a cat and mouse game with Tomlin in the past and the hard counts and the timeouts and the by play that they've had within the course of games. The Steelers feel like they are set up really well to be a factor this year in the AFC and in a really tough AFC North division. In terms of, they went out and they got another receiver in DK Metcalf, who, as of right now, he and George Pickens on opposite sides can create all kinds of matchup nightmares, on top of having Pat Freiermuth, on top of having Jaylen Warren in the backfield, potentially drafting somebody. They feel like if the offensive line is healthy, they can be good. And that defense should be really good, too. This is set up from a football perspective for Aaron Rodgers to step in. And if he's healthy and if he can channel what he flashed at times down the stretch last season, to have a lot of success. Rodgers is 41 years old. He has been beat up. He's been beaten down. He had a really bad taste in his mouth from the Jets. I do still believe, and I know that I felt this way a week ago too, it does seem like we're closer to a Rodgers decision. That's something that could happen in the next few days here. But there are no guarantees because it's Aaron Rodgers. And if he has proven anything over the past 5, 6, 7 years, it's that he is operating on his own process and his own timeline.
Well, clearly the Giants think he's going to the Steelers, right? I mean, the Giants within a couple of days, if not one day after Rodgers appeared at the Steelers facility. And of course, we always view things from our lens, certainly on this show, you know, where Rodgers shows up, then Jameis signs, and then Russ signs. There must have been signs before Rodgers even showed up in Pittsburgh to the Giants that it wasn't happening. So, you know,
I would say people familiar with the dynamics always believed that Rodgers was much more likely to go to the Steelers than the Giants. There was ongoing communication still with Rodgers' agent Dave Dunn and the Giants. They felt like there was still an opportunity there. But it seemed pretty clear that Rodgers was going to lean toward going to the Steelers if the Vikings weren't an option. And that was made clear about 9 or 10 days ago to Aaron Rodgers that right now they're just not going in that direction. So that all leaves us with what is Aaron Rodgers really deciding here? Well, a big part of it is he willing to fully commit? And does he believe that it's in his best interest to go right now to leap at the one job that's out there for him, which is the Steelers? Because the other teams that don't have starting quarterbacks right now, it's the Browns. I don't see Aaron Rodgers going to Cleveland. And the Titans, I don't see Aaron Rodgers going to Tennessee, especially because, you know, the prevailing thought at this point is that they likely will stand in and take Cam Ward with the number one overall pick. If Aaron Rodgers wants to know that he's going to be a starter in week one of the 2025 season, it's Pittsburgh. They've had the parameters in place on the contract for weeks. There's nothing financially that's going to stand in the way of this. The only thing left is for Aaron Rodgers to say, I'm in. You know, is that going to come today? Is that going to come next week? We just don't have that answer just yet. But to the extent that people are waiting for somebody in Pittsburgh to say, all right, we've waited long enough, we're out, I don't get the sense that we're at that point yet, in large part because, like I said, Mike Tomlin has had a relationship and an affinity for Aaron Rodgers for a long time. This idea that if they're patient, they may have one of the greatest quarterbacks of his generation, albeit not at his peak of his career, it's alluring enough that the same coach who last year jettisoned Mason Rudolph, who they'd just been to a playoff game with, for the combination of Russell Wilson and Justin Fields, who now, oddly enough, are both in New York, now potentially having the opportunity again to try to fix that one spot. That seems to be how Tomlin's thinking about this, which is we have all these other pieces in place. We just haven't gotten the quarterback right just yet. Could they draft one? Absolutely, that's a possibility, and they've shown they win games with Mason Rudolph, but they're keeping that door wide open for Aaron Rodgers at this point, and we'll see if Rodgers ultimately decides he's willing to jump in with both feet.
Tom Pelissero here on the Rich Eisen Show before he jets off to the owners' meeting at some undisclosed bunker in a posh part of Florida, right here on the Rich Eisen Show.
No breakfast beans.
No breakfast. Bring your own eggs.
They're expensive.
Well, I would say this too, real quick. This also, the non-breakfast, also eliminates the awkwardness of at the end of the breakfast in recent years where the reporters would stand up and the people would already be taking away the big metal trays. Oh. And then you'd have to beg to get the eggs brought back out. That was an ongoing back and forth. And I have been in line for that before, while they're like, well, we got to try to find some utensils now. And it's like, I'll take anything. I just want to pay. It's not anyone's fault. Otherwise, they're told the event ends at 8:30 and they take that literally.
Otherwise known as Bunsen burner gate. All right.
See, it really is the last place you see a Bunsen burner.
That's right. So back to football. So we've been dying for any indication about movement in the draft order or what we can glean about who's taking who. And with Cam Ward's pro day and the Giants signing two veterans at the quarterback spot, how did this week give you, Tom, any better sense of what is going to happen at the top of the draft 28 days from now in Green Bay?
I don't know that it really clarified a whole lot, Rich, because I would say the feeling within the league for several weeks now has been the overwhelming favorite in terms of the possibilities of number one is the Titans stand in and they take Cam Ward. Now, they've also been open to listening to potential offers. And listen, if somebody is willing to give you three first round draft picks to move up number one, and you move back a couple of spots and either take a different quarterback or take a position player here. It's something you have to be willing to think about. But you saw
it's
Cam
less
Ward.
Just jumping in here, it's less likely the Giants will do that now because they got two vets, right? Like, why would you sign two vets and then trade all that draft capital to go get somebody that the draft capital mandates and the position where you choose him for him to start week one? Why would you do that?
Or you could say, were the Giants looking at this and saying, no matter what, the type of draft capital it would take to get number one is not going to be worth it from a value perspective. So let's go sign two quarterbacks who are going to make a combined like $15 million, eliminate nothing. And maybe if the quarterback we want is there at three, we've got the opportunity to not give up all that additional draft capital and still get a guy. And that's where, you know, in the calls and conversations I've had over the past couple of days, that's what everybody now is trying to project out, because the Browns are sitting there at number two. They certainly are a threat to take a quarterback. They had an offer out to Russell Wilson. It was not at the level of the Giants' offer to Russell Wilson, but that was also not going to preclude them from taking a quarterback at number two. I would say I've heard more about the Giants being linked to Shedeur Sanders than I have with the Browns over the past several weeks here.
Huh.
So would the Browns potentially take an Abdul Carter or a Travis Hunter at two? Would they trade down with somebody who wants to get ahead of the Giants and have their pick of the second quarterback? These are all moving parts. I would say, to the extent that people looked at signing Jameis, signing Russell Wilson, and said, well, this means now the Giants aren't going quarterback, or maybe they're not, maybe they'll go in the second round or trade up and get Jackson Dart, whatever it is, but do it later in the draft. I had a GM call me yesterday and brought up, without me asking, like, why is everybody saying that the Giants now don't take a quarterback? He's like, they've set up the perfect room for a guy like Shedeur Sanders to walk into. Because Russell Wilson, whatever you want to say about him, he works his tail off. He prepares. His entire life and his, you know, his entire routine is built around being a player. And Jameis, again, he's gone through a really interesting arc here, but he's been in the league for a decade because, you know, he's learned to do things the way you need to do them. What better two guys do you have in the room for a Shedeur Sanders to walk in and learn from? And then, oh, yeah, it gives you optionality for what you do with that pick. You're not locked into taking a quarterback. And you also don't have so much money committed to those other two guys that if Shedeur Sanders is the best player or whoever that quarterback is in camp, that you can't go, we're just going to start him right out of the gate. I mean, Russell Wilson was that guy. Granted, he was a third-round pick, but you remember he walked into a situation where he was third on the depth chart in Seattle back in 2012, and they had given some money to Matt Flynn. And then Pete Carroll looked at it and said, that's the best guy. We're going to play him. I don't think that anything the Giants did, was this their number one option to sign Russell Wilson and sign Jameis Winston? No, they were strongly in on Matthew Stafford in the course of the process. They certainly had a strong interest in Aaron Rodgers. But, you know, in terms of the way they've set that thing up and how little it costs them to get those two quarterbacks in, it takes nothing off the table. So the Giants, it seems right now, or in as good a spot as they could be in. Would they be in a better spot if they hadn't won that game over the Colts in Week 17? Yeah, that's fair to say. You'd be sitting there at number one. You wouldn't have had to do any of this stuff. That's not the situation. They conserved resources. They didn't have to spend a ton in free agency. They didn't go out and give Sam Darnold $35 million a year. They spent $15 million total on two guys who are both, even though Russ Rich walks in the door as the starter here, it's really backup or at best bridge money that they gave him. Jameis is clear backup money. And you got yourself some options here, depending exactly how this draft process plays out.
There you go. Tom Pelissero here on the Rich Eisen Show. Before I let you go, the competition committee placed in front of all of us just yesterday, everything that's going to come out of committee entering the owner's meeting week. You know, sometimes once you get to the owner's meeting spot, there's a lot of chatter that's had where a team would pull their proposal because they know it's dead in the water. And the last thing they want to do is have something voted on dead in the water that goes nowhere and thus has no future to be brought up later on at future owners' meetings. That's usually the way it goes. What's your general sense right now, Tom, of what will be voted on and what has a chance of passing? Is it the tush push? Could it possibly be the different way of seeding teams? Doesn't matter if you haven't won the division. If you have a better record as a wild card team, you still get a home game above a division winner, which is a Detroit proposal. What do you think going in, Tom? Handicap it.
Well, on that, on the seeding thing, Rich McKay, the competition committee chair, addressed this on a conference call yesterday, and he said there has been interest in that in the past, but you have to weigh out all the different factors here, including the way that the schedule is set up. You know, back in the COVID year in 2020, when there were all kinds of different things that, you know, contingencies they had to set up, one of them was, what happens if we don't play all the games? What if we play 14 games and you end up with unbalanced schedules where not everybody has played their full division slate? They were going to rank them. They were going to do it this way. And that's because you wouldn't have been able to go apples to apples with everybody playing the same number of division games. So if indeed you would go to a system where division title doesn't mean as much in terms of seeding, would you have to reconfigure how the entire schedule is set up with the six division games and then the play in the opposite divisions and everybody plays those? It's very much a schedule system that is set up to have fairness within the division. So I would anticipate there's conversation on that. I don't know that we're going to have a vote. The tush-push ban that was proposed by the Packers, a parting gift from Mark Murphy as he gets set to cycle out this summer. It's the first time this is going to be really addressed and discussed at a larger level, but there's not been appetite in the past from the competition committee to support a ban, in part because there's no documented injuries whatsoever on the play. Historically, the competition committee proposals have had a higher degree, a higher percentage chance of passing than team proposals. And so the two I would say to watch, and that's not to, you know, to cast aside any of the others, but the two I would say to watch are the two that were in the competition committee's proposals that they put out yesterday. One being moving up the touchback spot to the 35 from the 30. This is something that really they always planned to do. What they needed to do initially with the dynamic kickoff was gain enough of the data before they started having even higher percentage of returns. So you had a system where they knew ultimately they were going to have a ton of touchbacks still, but it was going to tick up. They could analyze that data set, see if the safety was there, see if the injury rate went down, which it did. Now they can say, all right, let's do something else incrementally here that knocks up the returns a little more, then evaluate the injury rate there. I would anticipate that that is likely going to come to a vote and likely is going to pass. The other rule change that's going to be interesting, and I would think that this would have a pretty strong possibility of passing, is going to be expanding the replay assist to cover more objective elements of plays. And the key there is
objective
elements of plays, because there's a lot of stuff in the rule book, whether it's what's a material restriction of a receiver, you know, what is a grasp of the face mask versus incidental contact, what is, you know, the start of a slide, all those things. None of those are truly going to be the reviewable part. What they're going to be reviewing is the objective elements of plays, and it's only going to cover, Rich, under this proposal, when a flag has been put down on the field. It will not involve things like Sam Darnold goes full exorcist and gets his head ripped off against the Rams. There's no flag. This still would not fix that.
Oh, boy.
This would fix if somebody calls in that same situation a face mask, and on replay you can see the face mask was not touched. It would be if you called forcible contact to the head and neck area of a sliding player. They're not going to analyze what is forcible. They're not going to analyze, was the player sliding in time? They're strictly going to say, hey, if on replay, when you put the flag down, we saw there was no contact to the head and neck area whatsoever, you can pick up that flag. It's very narrow. That should not be surprising, because the competition committee has never had an appetite to substitute one person's judgment for another's. And Troy Vincent even invoked the legalized sports betting as a reason for this, which is if you all of a sudden have a flag coming in a minute after the play, and people are going to say, where'd that come from? I would go a step further and say, if you start to have every play, and I know there's this, we all want to get the play right, Rich. We all want to get the calls right. But you have the gray area of, hey, if it's not the Sam Darnold play, if it's the one 10% less than that, are you calling it there? Are you putting down a flag? If it's 25%, if it's a 50-50, do you want that flag put down? And then if you extend it to other things like offensive holding and the way those rules are written, they're all written with a level of subjectivity into it. That's why replay assist can be used on, were you out of bounds? Where was your second foot out? It can be used to fix the clock. It can't be used for penalties and things like that. And I would also say, again, I understand the frustration the fans feel when you see missed calls in games, but I would tell your audience, You do not want to live in a world where every play is reviewable. You do not want to live in a world where after every single snap, 150 in the game, you're going, there should have been a flag. Are they going to throw the flag? You don't want to have that psychologically. And the NFL knows that. It's going to slow down the game. It's going to create a whole bunch of problems. The NFL does not, other than the 2019 pass interference debacle, this is why they don't do it. They don't generally do things haphazardly. They don't make up rules on the fly. They don't do things that are not going to be enforceable. Pass interference became unenforceable. This is a small tick in the right direction because you have more cameras than ever. You have more angles. You have more data that the people at home are consuming. They're focusing right now on, let's make sure that if there's a flag thrown that's wrong, we can pick that up. Any idea about a sky judge putting down flags for things, that is still a ways out when it comes to subjective fouls.
It'll never happen either. Tom, safe journey. Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Appreciate you guys.
Tom Pelissero, everybody. Check him out on the Insiders from the Owners Meeting. Somebody. Must have. Also follow him on social.
You don't wake up dreaming of McDonald's fries. You wake up dreaming of McDonald's hash browns. McDonald's breakfast comes first. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Eczema isn't always obvious, but it's real. And so is the relief from Ebglyss. After an initial dosing phase of 16 weeks, about 4 in 10 people taking Ebglyss achieved itch relief and clear or almost clear skin. And most of those people maintained skin that's still more clear at 1 year with monthly dosing.
Ebglyss, lebrikizumab, LBKZ, a 250 milligram per 2 milliliter injection, is a prescription medicine used to treat adults and children 12 years of age and older who weigh at least 88 pounds or 40 kilograms with moderate to severe eczema, also called atopic dermatitis, that is not well controlled with prescription therapies used on the skin or topicals, or who cannot use topical therapies. Ebglyss can be used with or without topical corticosteroids. Don't use if you're allergic to Ebglyss. Allergic reactions can occur that can be severe. Eye problems can occur. Tell your doctor if you have new or worsening eye problems. You should not receive a live vaccine when treated with Ebglyss. Before starting Ebglyss, tell your doctor if you have a parasitic infection.
Searching for real relief? Ask your doctor about Ebglyss and visit ebglyss.lilly.com or call 1-800-LILY-RX or 1-800-545-5979.
Back here on our program, the owners meeting again. It's not just the owners, it's not just the coaches, it's not just the team presidents, it's not just the GMs, it's also the media partners. Anybody who's a partner in the NFL goes there. And I learned that my first time at the spot where this owners meeting is taking place, where NFL Total Access emanated from the parking lot of the Breakers. And We were just, oh my God, we were only like 5 months old. It was really early on in the process. And we were in the parking lot of the Breakers. I was walking from the parking lot into the hotel. And as I walked in there, first time in my life I had ever laid eyes on in person, one of our favorite all-time guests, Al Michaels. Mm. And I was kind of surprised to see him there because I didn't know that all the play, like literally all the play-by-play announcers of all the major networks are all there. They're there. I mean, they're all going to be there. It's part of their schedule. They go there because there's broadcast meetings. And then you're also, you're rubbing elbows with everyone that you're in a position of power in the NFL. Oh, we can do this here? I didn't know that. I'm sorry. Okay. My pardon me. We'll do it another time then, Mike. I'm sorry. We're having a conversation with Mike Hoskins right now. So long story short, we're sitting around and Al Michaels comes. I'm walking in and Al Michaels gets into it's a courtesy car that's right there. A longtime executive, Howard Katz, said to him, "Hey, Al, what'd you think of the Breakers here?" And he says, 2.5 seasons, got in the car and sped off. And I thought to myself, what does that mean? And then I learned later on, that's how Al Michaels rates hotels.
Yep.
Based on their seasons. So there you have it. 844-204-RICH, number to dial here on the program. We've got coming up, Chelsea Handler's coming up in hour number 3.
Nice.
That's how we're rolling here, man. On this program. I don't know if she's in our green room just yet. If she is, we'll go back there and say hello to them. We had Women's Sports Now here over the fortnight here on the program. It's now 2 episodes in on this. And when the radio audience returns, that's when we'll hit play on this thing. We've got Women's Sports Now every single week recording out of here, out of our studios. And then what we have on Thursday, as soon as it hits 12:01, episode is up there for you to consume on the Roku portal. And the folks at Roku have been remarkably supportive of this project from the very beginning. Susie and I are executive producers on it. Hello, Sunshine of Reese Witherspoon. It's also her production company. Jay Felly, you're working this thing right here. I mean, we're all pitching in.
It's fun. Good times.
You enjoying it?
They have me laughing, which I have to laugh and quietly.
The neat thing is, again, you know, Susie is co-hosting it with Sarah Tiana,
yep.
Who she's got a great segment. Every week she Zooms with a women's sports athlete, yep, that you might not have heard of, what they're up to, what they're doing. It's kind of like a Faces in the Crowd,
mm-hmm,
segment,
mm-hmm,
like a Sports Illustrated Faces in the Crowd segment. Renee Montgomery, WNBA star, now a part owner of the Atlanta Dream, a UConn champion as well, and Colleen Wolfe, our friend from NFL Network. So I'm glad they're making you laugh. They make me laugh.
Their
chemistry instant. They'd never worked together, all four of them together.
Same, like best friends.
And now they are on Women's Sports Now. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network. Women's Sports Now available for you every single week on Thursdays on the Roku portal. Here they are talking about Juju Watkins being out for the season.
As an athlete, you know, Renee, I want to ask you, like, trusting yourself to go back on the court, what is that like? Because we know that Olivia Miles had from Notre Dame had an ACL. Cameron Brink and Paige Beckers, that, you know, clearly is coming back off of an ACL. And a lot of kids out there are hurting themselves on the court. But what is it like trusting your body again?
That might be one of the worst parts, because it's like you can't play safe in sports. Like, the moment you try to play safe, that's when it's dangerous. And so you have to kind of just be fearless and a little bit crazy, because you have to trust that this knee that I couldn't even jump off of 4 months ago, well, let's just try to see if we can jump and cut and move. But that is probably one of the hardest hurdles.
I think about how devastating this is for not only Juju, but for all USC fans, for women's basketball fans, for basketball fans, for sports fans in general. Yeah. I mean, she is on top of the world. And when you watch even 5 minutes of TV, you see one of her endorsements. She has an array of endorsements. Juju is huge. And part of that team, USC has played 1,280 minutes all year long, only 168 minutes without her.
Crazy.
So stars will be born at this point. This is what happens when we see injuries. This is how Tom Brady got his start when Drew Bledsoe went down. This is how Nick Foles.
Yep. I knew got his start
when Carson Wentz went down.
But no doubt, if you bring up a great point about how much money she's making, I've got on my Juju shirt, solidarity to Juju, and my kid is wearing hers today as well. She's going to make money while she's rehabbing, which is incredible. And Sarah, you pointed out something really interesting about the lack of research into women's bodies and how they hold up playing sports.
Yeah, you know, when we looked into it, you know, the way that we train women and the way that we rehabilitate women is exactly the same way that we do with men and men's bodies. And there hasn't been any research into how a woman's body could adapt differently to any kind of training, specific exercises, and specific rehabilitation. So I don't understand why the research hasn't been done into that. I mean, I just feel like there's definitely like a lot of leaps and bounds that we should do with women's bodies, especially when it comes to athletes.
Women's Sports Now, every single Thursday, four dynamic ladies talking about the issues of women's sports. They went down a little bit of a figure skating wormhole because the championships are this weekend. They showed Colleen Wolfe doing what was...
Big figure skater, Colleen. Yeah.
She brought her figure skates in.
She had her outfit, her skates.
Yeah.
She had it all.
Yeah, so she didn't put it on.
We know the weekend ice skate. So.
You know, Sarah had a tremendous point there. Like, Chris, you know, last week we were talking when Juju got hurt, and I was saying how I think maybe she should redshirt, and you were like, well, Stephon Diggs is back, and he's running and cutting. And right. I was saying, well, like, that's Steph Diggs. This isn't Juju. They're, you know, and so Sarah, I think, was dead on with what I was saying. Men's bodies, women's bodies, they're different. They're going to heal differently,
well,
probably.
I saw some numbers, and they were talking about it as well, that women are 2 to 8 times more prone to blowing out an ACL than a man.
Wow.
Yeah. And that there is something about the science of male and female bodies that need to be studied potentially more significantly You know, I mean, and again, there is an angle of Juju driving to the hoop from the other baseline that I saw. I mean, I've seen tons of angles on this.
Not good at any
but from the baseline that she's driving away from, and she gets bumped just in her hip. I mean, just contact going to the hoop. That's probably happened to her a gajillion times in her life.
Probably five times in that game.
And her right knee when it lands, her right leg when it lands, just buckled.
Yep.
And I don't know. You know, obviously this is something that, you know, there's what, Keck Medicine at USC, perhaps they can study it. Perhaps my school, Michigan, can study this sort of thing. I mean, I don't know if it's preventable. I don't know what it is. But that's the sort of angles. That are discussed on Women's Sports Now. And then Sarah had a laugh out loud, funny finish getting ready for opening day of baseball. I don't know if you saw her preps for this sort of thing. But
no, she runs some stuff by me.
Okay, very good. You're helping at workshop?
That's right.
Okay, very good. Chris Brockman behind the scenes the making audience. Women's Sports Now better. Right? At any rate, it's available every single Thursday on this very portal. So when we're done, perhaps check that out. But we're not done. Hour number three with Chelsea Handler in studio. Don't go anywhere.
This episode is brought to you by Universal Pictures. From Universal Pictures and Blumhouse come a storm of terror from the director of The Shallows, The Woman in the Yard. Don't let her in. Where does she come from? What does she want? When will she leave? Today's the day. The Woman in the Yard. Only in theaters March 28th.